I'm Mina Starziak-Hawk, and this is Mina AF, where I answer all of your questions and you can ask me anything.
Can we talk about money?
Can you still breastfeed with implants?
You're both boss moms.
And I'd love to know the story of how you met.
Literally anything any of you want to hear. Listen as we build a community and get to know each other better.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Mina AF. Hope you had a lovely Monday. Happy Tuesday. I've got Steve with me today.
AKA
Dr. Phil. You've listened to previous episodes. We are going to talk today about the idea of radical acceptance. And we touched on it a few weeks back because Steve mentioned that he started kind of going down this direction with his therapist. So give us the backstory there.
Yeah. So I've been in this particular grief therapy for a year and a half. And I have gotten a lot of messages about where I go and who I see. I will say that it's called Winding Road Counseling. It's in Greenwood, Indiana. My grief therapist, her name is Joanne. I don't know if she's taking new clients or not, but there's that information for you guys. Man, okay, so I'll try to summarize this as quickly and best as I can. But over the last probably 8 years, I've had Marla Moses just as like my
general counsel therapist.
General therapist. She doesn't really do any type of grief therapy. And so when
I think people that's like, that's a specialty.
Yeah, it is. She went back. Joanne went back and got her master's after she had experienced some loss. She was like, I want to get my master's. So I have Marla as a general therapist, Joanne as a grief counselor, and then I was for about 4 months doing some EMDR work. I really put a lot of thought into it. I was just like, I think I'm overstimulating the therapy portion of my brain. I'm talking about it too much. I'm just like down all the time. And I did some research on
this. Three therapists at one time is a lot.
It's a lot. It was like at one point on accident, just because I'm not as great. Now that we've color coded the family calendar, I'm way better. But there was some confusion on the family calendar. I mean, I would have like two in a day.
Yeah.
And when you're over talking about your trauma, it like almost does the opposite of what it's supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
And so I did some research into that, and like that is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So
radical acceptance is kind of the opposite of that.
Well, so we're not quite there yet, but so I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm gonna back off this one portion of therapy. So I'm still seeing Joanne every 2 weeks, and we kind of like alternate in person, and then we do like Zoom, and mostly just because her office is 35 minutes away from our house, and it's down Madison, which, you know, is just like stoplight after stoplight after stoplight. So it's just like, ugh. So probably about 2 months ago, we started getting into radical acceptance. So I've been working on that, and then had a couple more sessions. And then last month, our last session, we were talking and she was like, you know, Steve, the goal of therapy is for me not to keep you for life.
Mm-hmm.
Like the goal is for
you to get the tools that you can manage.
Yeah. I think that's literally, were you on that call?
No.
Okay.
I'm just a really good therapist.
I think literally she was like, the goal is for me to be able to give you tools to kind of like navigate, you know, life and situations that come up. So.
And radical acceptance is kind of one of those.
It's kind of like, I feel like it's maybe like the last tool that she,
I'm going to read the definition.
Okay, but she literally was like, we're going to do maintenance from here on out. Just like, if you need me, message me and we'll set something up. But we're done with it every 2 weeks. Okay.
So the idea of radical acceptance is it's a form of cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And what it refers to is completely accepting your reality without judgment or resistance, especially when faced with circumstances or situations that are beyond one's control or really hard to change. Mm-hmm. So it involves acknowledging the present moment as it is, even if it's not what you prefer or find ideal. So in essence, it really, it encourages individuals to let go of fighting against a reality or wishing things were different. And instead you really embrace the situation as it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not passive resignation or approval of an injustice or harm, but it's a recognition of what is and allowing individuals to respond more effectively and with better emotional balance to life's challenges. So it's often seen as a key component of mindfulness practice and can really lead to this greater feeling of peace and resilience and overall well-being.
Yeah, so mindfulness practice was what we got into before radical acceptance.
Do you want to know what I hear? Because in this definition,
tell me.
Like, I love this because it's like, well, fucking do something about it. And if you can't, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's what I hear too.
Which is, I like, don't give me a problem if I can't solve it. Which is not necessarily the right direction to go here, but I really like the idea of it because it fits what works with
this coping mechanism. Essentially the last tool in my toolbox.
Yeah.
And
we've got all the tools, and if you can't do anything about it.
Mindfulness was like the second to last tool, which I found to be probably the most helpful tool. And so the radical acceptance, I think, was kind of like the last tool that she gave me and has been equally as helpful as all the previous tools.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one podcast we'll sit down and talk about all the hammers and nails that she's given me.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But this particular one, I think she clearly knows what she's doing, right?
Yeah.
She can clearly
the order gauge, of operations.
Yeah, she can clearly gauge a person's barometer of where they're at. Right?
Yeah.
So I think she was like, okay, Steve's ready for radical acceptance. And I think I was, you know, I was like, because as you know, and as she knows, just because I talk about it, I struggle with my dad the most. My dad's passing.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of talking about that, and she was like, okay, what do you think about, you know? And I tell her what I think about.
Are you going to say what you think about?
Ugh, it'll make me cry.
Okay. You don't have to. It just would be helpful for understanding.
So for those of you who don't know, my dad had an accident. He just fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And
That's how he died.
And so so that comes with a lot of things, right? Like, I can't get that vision out of my head. And I can't get the idea of like, don't go down the stairs, Dad.
Well, it could have been different if we could have done something. If we could have convinced him to live with us you know, a million things, then that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't alone, if we had maybe been there visiting, if like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now that we have like two kids, like when I see grandparents grandfathers in particular, like, you know, that brings up feelings for me. But she's like, okay, so you envision your dad falling down the stairs, right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. And she's like, and then what do you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of like get sad and I cry and she's like, okay, where does that go? Where does that get you? And I'm like, sad. And she's like, okay, well, then we're moving on to the next stop.
Yeah.
Think about something else.
Yeah.
And you never met her, have you?
I don't think so. We did one session on Zoom actually with Joanna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super, super lovely lady. I just enjoy like her company. She has a good aura, you know. I've told her this in the first probably 6 months. I was like, we could come in here. I could come in here and we can chit chat about whatever because I just like you. And she's like, that really, really, really means a lot to me. But anyway, we didn't. And so, you know, she was like, okay, so your dad fell down the stairs and he died. Now think about something else.
Yeah.
It's helped.
Yeah.
I think that you have to admit that in the last 2 months, I've only had like maybe one bad day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe two.
One or two.
Compared to like one a week.
Yeah. Well, and I think the reason that we wanted to talk about it is because there's so many different things that you can apply it to in your life. Because I feel like it's human nature.
Yes, this is just my...
Yeah, no, that it came up. Like, I know about it because your therapy.
Yeah.
But it's just, I feel like it's human nature nowadays to just like wallow in things. And for some people, not everyone.
Which is, I think, okay for a certain amount of time, right? And
yeah.
I think that that's why she probably waited a year and a half.
To you need to make sure we get through all the other coping mechanisms before we go to, we'll move the fuck on.
Right.
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, we just kind of want to talk about that a little bit more with you guys and like give some examples. And so maybe while everyone can't relate to your story, like something, well, I guess I've never been fired either. So I don't know if I can relate to this example. I'm a stellar employee, but like another example is like, let's say you get laid off, like you get fired from your job. And you're angry, like you're mad at the situation, which is all completely normal. So the idea of practicing radical acceptance in that scenario would involve acknowledging the reality of the situation without dwelling on whether, you know, it's unfair or how unfortunate it may seem. So instead of getting caught up in all those like blaming feelings of resentment and despair, you choose to accept you've lost your job. You focus on the next steps you can take to adapt and move forward, whether that's getting your resume put together or networking or like maybe changing career opportunities or looking into that.
Back to school.
So by embracing this idea of radical acceptance, you approach the challenge with this clear mind and a sense of empowerment where it's like, okay, this is what I can do about it. I'm going to do these things I can and move forward instead of spending hours, days, weeks, months, like, well, I shouldn't have been fired. So-and-so did that and they still got to keep their job. And well, and I've heard this. I've heard this from employees. Well, so-and-so did this too. So like, why did I get fired for it? Well, you know what? Maybe you got lucky for a while, like accepting and owning your own shit and being able to move on and do what you can for that. So how you can apply that, I guess, in your own life, like the various things and the challenges that kind of come along with it, accepting it, because there are a lot.
Almost hour to hour, right? You can, as parents.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like just also human nature, we don't like change. We're resistant to change. Like we want things to stay the same. We want them to be reliable and predictable. So when they change, whether it's the death of your dad or losing your job or, you know, a parenting thing gone wrong, like that change is uncomfortable. And so it's like, what do we do with that discomfort then?
Wallow.
Yeah.
No,
I think a lot of people do because you don't know what to do. So you just like sit in it. And you know, how long is that healthy for?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think a variable for each person in each situation. And like I said, I think Joanne picked the right time for this, kind of like last tool to give me. And when she gave it to me, I was kind of like ready for it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think you have to be because
you can't give somebody that tool on day one.
No.
Fucking move on.
Well, and not only is change uncomfortable, but if you're going to take this outlook of radical acceptance, like a very integral part of it is owning your own part. And we don't like owning our own shit. We don't like, okay, you lost your job and you were doing everything everyone else was, but what were you doing your best? Were you doing what you should be doing? Like what was your part in it? And to be able to go through these steps of radical acceptance, you really have to be able to confront those emotions about like, oh, I feel like shit. Cause maybe I wasn't doing my best. Maybe I was taking a 75-minute lunch break when it should have been 30. And maybe,
whatever it is.
And that's really hard for people to like look at and like take some ownership over what feels like a negative situation or a failure or.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I think that you use the like losing your job as an example. That's a great example. Daily, like parenting, I think
yeah.
it can be applied where it's like, okay, for instance, I'll give you a great example. Last mm-hmm. night, what happened? Jack spilled my 3-gallon jug of water that I have with me constantly. And I got more upset than I should.
Yes.
And the reason why I got more upset than I should is because it's the 9th time it's happened in 6 days.
You know what my response to the 9th time in 6 days was?
All my fault.
Steve should put a top on his jug because it comes with a top.
No, it's just kind of a pain to screw on.
Mm-hmm. But you think after 9 times in 10 days, it'd be less of a pain to screw the top on than clean it up.
So I see that as you would think he would learn not to kick over my water bottle.
Yeah.
Regardless.
But the radical acceptance part is like, okay, that keeps happening. What can I do about it? What's my role in it?
Yeah. And so what did I got the top.
Super simple solution. But one that is annoying because you had to do something differently. You had to reflect like, okay, this is a really like dumb little example, you guys.
Well,
but it's a good one.
An example.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, what is my part in this? Okay, I'm putting an open bottle of water on the floor next to the couch. Maybe I shouldn't do that.
That a 5-year-old was like pretty hyped about
yeah.
it just being the three of us last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just like, gosh darn it, Jack, this is like the 6th time, you know. And he literally was looking at me like, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, kind of like, I did it again, bitch.
I think that's part of his like coping mechanism too, though. He makes it funny. So it's not like uncomfortable because he's in trouble.
Yeah. But yeah, whatever the parenting kind of like, you know, I don't want to say like issue that you may be having, but it's just kind of like, well, all right, let's get through this.
I mean, another example is that I think super simple with parenting is like yelling at the kids because like they're yelling and fighting with each other, or because they're yelling, or, you know, like there's so much stuff on social media now. Everyone has parenting advice, you know, it's a dime a dozen, but like this idea of, you can either keep a situation the same, you can escalate it, or you can de-escalate it. And it takes a lot of like self-control to be able to de-escalate it. So when the kids, they've been playing in the hot tub because it was spring break, and they just annoy the shit out of each other. They just poke each, like physically, they just poke each other and they mess with each other. They splash each other.
It's a four-person hot tub.
Then they're upset that they got wet even though they're in a hot tub. Wow. And it's so hard to not get frustrated and be like, oh my God, like what, why? Why are we doing this?
Somebody get out.
And then you're just taking like this escalated energy into an already escalated situation. So I think part of like radical acceptance, not necessarily needed in this situation, but the idea of like reflecting on like, what can I do? What's my emotional state right now? Like, how am I going to come to this situation? And there's definitely a better way to do it if you can stop and like pause and think about that. Like, okay, I'm going to, well, a solution is, okay, we're out of the hot tub. Mm-hmm. Boom, done, simple. We've probably created another problem, but that's like, this is what I can do to affect change in this situation. And then there's very few situations that you can't do anything about.
Right. That's what
your
I'm saying.
Dad passing, 100% one of them. Mm-hmm. Cannot do anything about that.
Nope. Yeah. It's sit in the moment. Think about it. I like how you were like, this is how I hear it. Because it's exactly how I hear it too.
Yeah.
And then move the fuck on.
Move the fuck on. But I think.
You have to be ready for that though, y'all. I'm not saying day 2 after your dad's passing that you need to move the fuck on. That's not what the Hawks are
saying.
Last
tool in the toolkit.
This is an advanced.
If we're talking about situations like death, like serious things like that, I think
this is
in your day-to-day life, the smaller things, I think radical acceptance is a good go-to as this is just what I do.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm a control freak. Mm-hmm. I am a control freak. I want to be able to control everything. And when I can't, like, that's very frustrating for me. And so that's a big hurdle in this whole idea of radical acceptance, because it means that there are things that are out of my control and then I'm just going to have to move on from. And so it's not just accepting the thing. It's not just accepting, oh, I need to move on because I lost my job. It's accepting this bigger idea of I can't control the universe, which is very challenging for my brain.
I'm not. Okay. I hear you. I'm not necessarily those things can't live together. I'm not sure that those things can't live together.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can control the situation and fucking move on.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like.
But in my head, if things were under my control, the bad thing wouldn't have happened in the first place. I wouldn't have lost my job. Like I could.
What you're saying.
So it's this, you have to get over this ego.
Yeah.
That you're not in control of everything. And particularly in our culture, that's, I think, something a lot of people highly value is being like being able to control the situation, control the emotion, control the fill in the blank, mm-hmm. the outcome. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't.
Interesting.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have different stressors, some big, some small, that we carry around and that really weigh us down. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to have a negative effect on us. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. For me, therapy has been so helpful, really learning those positive coping skills and to be the best version of myself. I know myself better and how to set the right boundaries that really work for me. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, then give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, and it's entirely online. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/MinaAF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaAF. Warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you can fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. With delicious options from breakfast to dessert, you can stay fueled all day long with easy and nutritious options. Plus, with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon, Factor meals are a real treat. I love the convenience and the variation of Factor's different meal preferences, whether it's managing calories, maximizing protein, or avoiding meat. Crush your goals this May with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/MinaAF50 and use code MinaAF50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code MinaAF50 at factormeals.com/MinaAF50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's interesting because you're more of like a go with the flow person than I am.
Which is surprising for how much of a control freak I am.
Right. So that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Yeah.
Because if I were to...
It's very specific things I want to control. So today's Friday.
So if I were to be like, hey, do you want to go somewhere to dinner with the kids? You'd be like, sure, wherever, pick it. Go ahead.
If I said that to you, you'd panic a little bit.
Yeah, if you were like, hey, do you want to go out to dinner with the kids? I'd be like, no.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's going to be terrible. They're going to yell. Food's going to be shitty. It's going to suck. Yeah. We're going to come home angry.
Right. But you're like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'm down. And anytime I set up like a date night and I'm like, you know, where would you like to go on our date night that I've setting up as a good husband? You're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Wherever. And I'm just like, you used to be a lot more picky about where we'd go.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of like, God, this just doesn't care about anything. But then I'm like, but she cares about everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Well, it's very
paradoxical.
It's very particular, the things that I care a lot about. Like, as I've gotten older, it's obviously definitely changed. And mm-hmm. I flash back to, I feel like it was at my mom's house. post-college when we were still close. Like, I have this, or it might have been on vacation. Like, CR was making guacamole. Okay. I remember this. CR is my older brother. He's the firstborn.
You added the ingredients wrong.
No, he was making guacamole, and, like, it wasn't quite done. Like, he was mixing it. He was tasting it. He was adding salt. He was adding some lemon juice, blah, blah, blah. And whether, I think it was, I don't think it was me. Someone was, like, taking bites of it. And it was, like, he was so mad. He was so frustrated. He was so mad because it wasn't done. It wasn't time. It hadn't been put out.
Yeah. And CR takes very particular pride in
this. He's an engineer. He's very particular.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at this point, four kids later, you don't give a shit when anyone eats the guacamole.
No, he was particular about that soup.
But I just remember that being a moment, like a growth moment in my head, like, because I think I used to be like that. I used to be very particular about, like, when we had dinners at dad's house, like particularly the holidays, like this is how it happens. And I'm the one that pours the champagne every year. So I have to pour the champagne every year. And I don't know if it's just like, I'm more tired or again, I've had this bigger depth perception on life where I'm like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Anyone can pour the champagne. Like after you have kids, you're like, okay, no, I know what's really important and I'm going to hyper-focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Screw all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where my brain goes.
I remember, I don't even know if we had been married a full year right around then. Your younger full-blooded brother reached out to me and was like, hey, just kind of wanted to say thank you. Mina's like much cooler now. certainly not like, I'm not saying I'm taking the credit for that, but I think that there just becomes more of a balance of personalities when you do, like, you know, get married and
well, you have to make compromises. You like you learn
what's important and what's not.
Once you get into a relationship where another person is of significant enough importance that you'll make changes, accommodations, like grow, I think that's when you start learning compromise and change. Like before, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what anyone else thought. I'm going to eat where I want because I'm the only one going, or I'm going to eat where I want because I invited my friend. Like, you don't have to think about anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a partner, and then that even gets exemplified even more when you have kids because really all that matters is them. Like, your needs and wants are last if they come in anywhere.
Right.
You know?
I do know.
You do know.
I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. This is a really good tool. This is one y'all take home and use it. We talked about it briefly probably a month or so ago, but in one of our therapy sessions, honestly, our therapist, I think, got annoyed with us.
Well,
she got
that happened.
100%. But
she's also told me that she drops most of her couples therapy people.
Because they're not in it.
Quite quickly.
Yes. And we've been with her for a while.
Yay!
But the reason she said that she keeps us is because we're invested in the relationship. Yeah, she's like someone's always checked out. But Steve and I have a tendency to, like, when you start picking at the scab, you just keep pick. You're going to pick until that thing is gushing. He's looking at his ankle right now because he quite literally did that to his ankle. And it doesn't serve anyone past a certain point. And that's what we were doing in the session. It was like, yeah, but this. And then he would say, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And then I'd go back to me. Then I'd go back to him. Then I'd go back to me. And it never stops. And she was like, I want you to visualize a ping pong ball. And it gets to go back and forth two times tops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mina, you say something. Steve, you can say something back. Mina, you can respond. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
End the conversation. And there was just silence. She's like, end it. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was like, you've said what you needed to say.
Nothing else is going to be helpful.
You're like saying what you've already said, just in a more dickhead tone.
Yeah.
Or you're saying what you are trying to say.
You're just getting in the weeds.
Yeah, you're just like, you're getting in your own way.
You're getting in your own way.
The third ping pong. So make it two and stop.
And we hadn't talked about this idea of radical acceptance at that time. But now looking back, it's like, okay, yeah, that's what we're doing. Like, I'm trying to think of an example of where we've like started the ping pong. And then it's like, it's just done.
Hey, boo, do you want to have sex? No. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That 100%. Because then I could go back and be like, I'm just really tired. And I just this. And then it could go back to him. You're always really tired. And the kids are always around. And yeah, but it could just go on forever. So that is a good example.
I literally just say, okay.
Okay. I'm sure there's a million other things going on both. Like, I'm having that conversation in my head. And for sure, if you need to keep having it in your head, I want to explain to you why the answer is no. Steve's looking at me confused.
Oh, yeah, no.
I want to say no.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't want you to be like, no, but I mean, I guess like we can. I'm like, no.
No, but in my, like, I still have the conversation in my head. I just don't let it come out, which I think is still okay.
I'm okay with just no.
I'm explaining myself to myself.
Later. It's all good. Yeah. We're good together.
But in my head, I'm like, I'm really tired and I threw my back out. It hurts so bad just to move. And you got to do that when you have sex. And like, I want to explain these things and it also doesn't matter. Like, that's the situation. It's not going to change right now.
But it's a good example of the ping pong where it's like, no. Okay.
Yeah. It could go back and forth a million times.
It probably does for a lot of couples.
It does. So just stop ping ponging, you guys. It like doesn't serve anyone. And it's the simplest visual. It's so simple.
Shut up. Nope. Okay.
Whatever it is, like arguing about the parenting. And if it's something that's important that you like don't want to drop, I think what you can do is say, I want to think about this for an hour and I want to come back to it and have like an actual productive conversation because right now I'm frustrated.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that too.
The older I've gotten, the more I've felt I've never regretted waiting to say what right. I said. You can always say it in 20 seconds, 20 minutes, 20 hours. You always can say it real hard. You can't take it back, no matter what it is.
We're pretty good about that.
Yeah. We very rarely say things to try to hurt each other. It is like once a year, maybe, where it's like, well, I'm just going to take a jab.
Yeah, I don't think.
I can't remember the last time.
I'm perfect. I don't think I've ever done that to you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I feel like just the more that you are aware of like using tools, like mindfulness for me, the more I like practice it and whatnot, and just kind of like catch myself doing it, you know?
Well, even with us, like, I don't want anyone to like hear this the wrong way or even you to hear this the wrong way. But there's so many times where there's a small situation, like something dumb, little, whatever, and that you do that I want to like tell you how I feel about it or what I think about it, or it could have been done differently. And I'm just like, there's no point. Just move on. We're just not going to progress our relationship. It's not going to progress a conversation.
Unless it changes an outcome in a positive way.
And it's not gonna, like, okay. Whatever it is, like the thing's already happened. Okay. You don't need my two cents about it. I'm going to accept what happened and I'm going to move on. It happens in a half second.
Yeah.
But it makes the day so much smoother because we didn't need to have some little like.
I think that just comes
snippy
with like
exchange.
Just getting older and like understanding just like exactly what I've talked about. What my dad told me in his speech to me before I got married was like, "Yeah, man, she's right, and you're sorry. Like, just fucking move on."
Yeah,
you know. I used to be real.
You just dig your heels in. You want to be right because if you're not right, then it fucks up every other thing you think
really
about
matter?
Yourself.
What does it really
It's like, mean? I'm not right. Then if I'm wrong about this, what else could I be wrong about? And it's this, you can go into this spiral of, well, like, who am I even anymore? If this thing that I thought was true isn't true. And I think that's why it's so hard for some people. I think we're ready for radical acceptance. So it's easy to accept. If you're not, I think it could be very, very challenging.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of culty.
How
just
so?
Because I keep saying it.
Oh, just the, like the actual.
Yeah.
The
like words. You guys join our radical acceptance cult. It only costs $5,000 a month and we will help you change your life.
Now that you say that, Speaking of, just real quick sidebar,
Are you flashing back to Love Has Won?
All the streaming networks are like, you also might like this. And I'm like, God damn, they're all
cults. They're all cult movies. That's all cult documentaries. Shows. That's all we watch. But I think this is a really good jumping off point. Like, if you guys take this, think about it. If you have a specific question, like, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. Like, what would radical acceptance look like? Like, can you guys talk through what you think that would look like? Again, we're not therapists. We just play one on Mina AF. But put that in the link in the show notes with the question box. Like, leave a voicemail, or if you want, and if you want to be anonymous, you can be anonymous. It doesn't matter. Or send an Instagram message with it. Because I think that kind of stuff, like when we talk about things in an episode and it brings up questions for you guys, like, say those out loud so we can talk about them. Because that's the whole idea. Like, when things come up for you, I guarantee you they've come up for so many other people. It's not just you thinking that or not just you feeling that. And the whole idea of the podcast is to make everyone feel like less alone in the weird or uncomfortable or unpleasant thing they're thinking or feeling, and getting it out in the open. What you want to say? You look like you want to say something.
Just like, yeah, if you are there, and it's probably easier to open up Instagram, shoot me a message and I'll get it and we'll read it and we'll talk about it. I'm just not a, I just
Steve doesn't like the voicemail box because he wouldn't do it. You just click the link.
I don't have a link.
Yeah. If you watch the episode,
maybe there is, send me the episodes before they come out.
But that's not how anyone else does it.
I know. So that's my point.
I'm going to talk you guys through this in case you don't know. You click on the Mina AF podcast, and then when you click on an episode. So right now we're going to click on Who Am I Now?
Is that Apple?
And when you click on this, there is a link right here. You can get in touch with us and learn more at the link below. And then you click on,
See?
Hold on. I read too fast. Drop her a voicemail here. And here is hyperlinked. It's a different color in purple. So you click on here and it takes you to Telby.
Okay.
And all you do, it says, get your questions answered on my podcast. Ask me anything. You hold this down.
Okay. And talk. All right.
You don't have to put your phone number in. You don't have to put your email in. You don't have to say your name. No, you're not getting put on a list.
What app did you open?
It was Apple Podcasts. And it'll look the same on Spotify.
Okay. I was going to say, because I use Spotify.
Sorry. I guess I haven't really gone in detail about it. It's super easy, you guys.
That was pretty easy.
A lot of times you think like, oh, I have to put my email in, then I'm going to be on some list.
You
got to
call a number.
No, you don't call a number.
Wait till it's like, you reach Mina AF, leave a message, the beep, beep.
It says,
I want to do that.
Click here to leave a message. Click, hold it down, leave a message, hang up. Super easy, guys. No,
this is Julie from
Des Moines.
Des Moines, Iowa. go Iowa.
Such a dork. But now that maybe you guys know, we'll get some more voicemails. We've got a lot of, like I said, always really good supportive ones, but I want you guys to come in hot with the questions, like the tough ones, the weird ones, the difficult ones,
funny ones.
We're down for funny ones. And if you feel like the episodes, even old episodes, if you're listening to an old episode and you think, and it brings up something, leave a voicemail and say, I was listening to the episode about grief, Steve's first grief episode, and I want you to talk more about this. Or
I still get messages all the time about.
So they don't have to be like recent episodes.
I'm like, I'll go back.
Yeah, you know, when people find it, they go back, which is nice. So, yeah.
Thanks
for listening. I really do love and appreciate the support. We're slowly but surely growing. So,
Dr. Phil,
share it with your friends. That's the only way we grow. Hopefully, you can take away two tools. So try to use the radical acceptance. And then visualize that ping pong. Honestly, even if it's with your kid. Like, I think I flash forward to like when Charlie's 15. And when I was 15, oh my God, I would go back and forth with my dad. I didn't even realize that I learned this when I was 15. No, because I thought at one point, I was like, if I stop yelling, he has to stop yelling eventually. Yeah. And I stopped yelling and he did because the ping pong ball stopped.
Yeah.
So it's not just your partner. It's with coworkers. It's with your kids. Dumb and it's little and it feels very life changing, and so also feels very culty saying this.
It's not like Forrest Gump.
No,
on that USA team back.
No,
and
you're
forth,
not trying to get
forth.
The most hits.
Nope, just real quick.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Love you.